It's lesson 30. It is possession number 25. And before we begin, I know Erica's going to give me grief. She and her sister gave me grief the last time we did this, but I'm very slow. And what I like to do is review a little bit and just look where we've been and where we're going. And remember, we said this is the identification truth. And we started off with our identification with Adam and what that meant with Adam. And, you know, it wasn't a pretty picture. What was true of Adam was true of us. And as we went over that, that got to be an ugly picture. We saw that there is nothing good in Adam, and that the only thing that could be done was to crucify Adam on the cross, or the Adamic man on the cross. And but we learned about the identification, that everything that was true of Adam was true of us. Well, the beautiful side of it is, once we were identified with Christ, everything that was true about Christ is true about us. And that is exciting. And when you think about that, you know, it's kind of fun to hear, you know, actually some of the people out of the class, I hear that occasionally, you know, I hear them, what's true about Christ is true about us. That is an incredible truth to take with you when you think about that. And that's why we moved into what Lewis Berry Chafer put was the 34 possessions. Once you are in Christ, all those things that are true about you, or all the things that have been bestowed upon you. And that, you know, we've been going through it, and I handed out the sheet. You should have had also, I don't know if anybody else needs it. I have just a quick one-page summary of the 34. Do you guys have it in the back? If you don't, I just want to go through it really quickly. Again, I like to go back because I forget. And, you know, we've been going through it, and when you get kind of on the microscopic look of one topic, and you know, it's been probably, what, 24 weeks or 25 weeks we've been going through it. We're on possession number 25. We've been doing one a week, I think. So we've been on this for a long time. So I just want to quickly, go back and just go through these real quick and just see where we're at. This is what we have. Remember, this is the identification class. This is what we have in Christ. And I'll touch on that a little bit, too, just the in Christ. As I was preparing this lesson, I got more struck by the in Christ that we see in the Scripture. So, just quickly, in the eternal plan of God, we're reconciled, we're redeemed, no condemnation, related to God through propitiation, all sins removed by His efficacious blood, vitally joined together with Christ for judgment of the old self unto a new walk, free from the law, children of God, adopted, acceptable to God, justified, forgiven all trespass, made close, delivered from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom, on the rock, Christ Jesus, a gift from God the Father to Christ, circumcised in Christ, partakers of the holy and royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, having access to God, within the much more care of God, and then all the objects of His love, grace, power, faithfulness, peace, comfort, personal care, intercession. And then last week we went over His inheritance. I just wanted to, you know, when you look at that, I mean, I blow through it, but I started to look through it this week a little bit when I was preparing. You know, I started to look through what just quickly, was there something new on this list as we've gone through this that you didn't know about beforehand? Or is all this new? Is there something new? I mean, I'm just kind of curious. As I went through it, there's a couple things that I went through, and I was like, wow, you know, and get to one other thing, but...
Something new.
All new?
No, something new.
What?
Well, at this moment, I mean, I can't really identify what it is specifically right at this moment, but... But as we would go through it, I would almost have to say, it would just kind of click in. I can't really be specific about it.
Yeah, just, well, yeah.
There was something new almost every issue.
Okay. Any others? Does anything, I mean, is all this familiar? I mean, just kind of as half of it, all of it, new, old hat?
I think with growth, there comes a correct adjustment. And when that adjustment is made in something deeper, everything else seems to line up a little more clearly. And like me, I've been thinking about light and how Adam, his is a created light. It's not, I'm not sure if it's eternal in the sense that the life of God was an uncreated life, and that's what we have.
Yeah, you know, I kind of looked at those. I like both. Adam was created, and we are now created in Christ. I mean, that's why I think the beginning of the class was the identification, and the identification in Adam, and all that meant, and you couldn't wash it off, you couldn't do spiritual push-ups, as Mike says, you can't do anything to get rid of it, the fact that you're Adam. You know, as Mike says too, if you're a dog, you bark. You can't get out of that. You are in that. And just the first part was to really focus on how much we were identified with Adam and that there's nothing we could do. But the flip side of that, like I said, it's so beautiful, is the fact that we're in Christ now, new creatures. That same thing, that same identification, you can't wash it off, you can't change it, you can't do anything about it. You are a new creature in Christ. That same trait is now with us in Christ. And then, you know, as I started to look through these, I just saw, you know, a bunch of different things. One, you know, just for mine, adopted was one of those ones when I went through it. Was one of those topics that, you know, I'd heard about it, but it didn't really, you know, kind of, I mean, we're adopted, we're children of God. I thought they were kind of synonymous. And they aren't. And the adopted part was kind of where you're, kind of in the vernacular of the day with immigration, you're put to the front of the line. You know, through adoption, we are now fully vested in the family. We're fully, vested where all of the inheritance, everything that we're going to talk about today, is ours. We didn't have to grow up to be the oldest son or the whatever, where, you know, when you're adopted into this family, we're children of God, but we're adopted, which means we're fully vested. Everything is our inheritance is ours now. And that was something new to me.
But what I see is all of that has to do with life and eternal life. The very life of God that was uncreated. This Adamic life is a conditional life that is dependent upon this world in Adam.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a conditional life. I think it's a positional life, too. We were positioned in Adam. I mean, that's why I say that, you know, we have all of the Adamic stuff, and it's kind of like turned over and new. In Christ, we're, you know, our position in Adam. We were positioned in Adam. We're conditionally. I mean, we acted like it.
Right, but that breaking point is where sin entered in, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. Mm-hmm. So it was conditioned upon that death.
Oh, yeah.
See, and now this new life we have is uncreated. Eternal before the world began, back when there was just the Father and the Son.
Well, all of it was planned. I mean, he knew that we were going to fall. He knew everything. He knew everything about it. I mean, it wasn't
his purpose,
because the plan had to be. The plan was there to have us created in Christ. The knowledge of Adam and sin and everything was there. I mean, the trip point was when Adam sinned. And God knew about that. God knew it because of the plan, as you said.
Forgive the death blow that caused this fall.
Right. Well, that was the propitiation. He has to be
right.
Satisfied.
And that's where I see the first man as dead, gone.
Mm-hmm. At that point, that's when death entered.
That's why this eternal life, understanding the inheritance that Christ is the center of that, and just all the gifts that he gives us because of that eternal life.
Well, we'll get into the inheritance part, and then, you know, and then all of this. That's why I kind of want to go over this list again real quick, is, you know, I lose track as we look one at a time, just all that is there. Is there anything that out of going through all these, is there not, you know, any of these truths that is kind of, you know, hit you is significant or powerful or, you know, the one that hit me the most, again, as I looked through it again, and I've known it, but it hit me harder this time as I looked at it, was the access to God. Again, just that thought of Abba, Father, you know, as we get to that intimacy, it all becomes more and more as you realize that you're a child of God, adopted, all these things that you are, all these things He's bestowed upon you, this whole list. And that makes it, I don't know, just different when I think of Abba, Father. He's the one who has, you know, provided all these things. And you at that point can see how you can go to the Father and say, you know, Daddy. It's He's been so, you know, good to us by all these things He's done. It just to me, the expression of the intimacy and that access that we have has just become more and more real as you realize how good He is. He is our Father. He is our intimate Father who gives us, each one of us, intimately, all these different things. And I've known it, Abba Father, I knew it, but it's, you know, as I've looked at this list and I've looked at, you know, all the stuff we've gone through, the intimacy of, or the access that we have was just more significant to me. But
what always strikes me is He saw our unformed body before the creation of the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of our days were written in His book before one of them came to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
He knows this.
He
knows, you know, before there was anything. Yeah. Well, as Mike said, you know, it goes back to the eternal plan of God. I mean, that just, you know, the little engineering mind that I have, you know, I try and quantify things and put it in a box, and you just can't do that with God. And all this, it's unlimited. So, I mean, I'm curious if any of you, as I went through the list this week, I just started to kind of go through it, and I thought, you know, there are a lot of things in here that we've blown through or not blown through. It's been 20 weeks ago that we've looked at some of these things. So look through the list this week and, you know, just start thinking about all these. These are all true of you. This is the identification class. This is what is true of you, is all these things. And we're only, you know, we still got 9 to go. And just take a look at that. And as you do, I mean, it hopefully will help you through the week, through all these trials, different things, you know, that God loves you so much that He's bestowed all this upon you. So in blessings or in trials, there's no difference in His love. All right, let's get to it here. Actually, I was going to say, too, this was, after I did that, I was thinking, Paul in Ephesians 3:8, to me, the very least of the saints, this grace was given to preach the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. That's when I started looking at this list, I kept thinking, the unfathomable riches. You can't measure it. It's unfathomable means you can't measure how deep that is. And as I looked at this list, that's how Paul, I think, was saying. He preaches this, the unfathomable riches of Christ. You know, you begin to wade into this ocean and it just gets deeper and deeper and sweeter. So, let's go on and I will start. Let's start with Jessica over here. Do you have the sheet?
Yep.
Read, we'll just go through,
first
go
Peter.
Back across, and then second row we'll start, yeah, with First Peter.
Okay. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time.
In Him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory.
Mm-hmm. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve.
Marley, I'll do the Hebrews.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and for this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, in order that since a death was taken, has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance.
All right, so the key word through all these is inheritance. And last week we looked at God's inheritance of us, and that was in Ephesians 1:18. I thought about that one. That is one of those unfathomable riches that's hard to comprehend. His inheritance of us. What a bargain. What a bargain. You know, I can't, you know, that one's a little tougher to understand that, you know, it cost him his son on the cross paying for our sins that we would become new creatures in Christ to have unlimited fellowship, blessing, and position. So he could inherit us. That's a little harder to comprehend how he could do that versus today's one, which is our inheritance. What we have. You know, the other one was from God's perspective. Now it's from ours, our inheritance. You know, and it, like I said from last week, that's really hard to understand. That there's an inheritance in us to God. You know, man. Today we'll look at our inheritance, and that's a little bit more easier to understand, I think. But the first is, what does inheritance mean? Question one.
To receive something.
To receive.
But inheritance, that very word implies that it was planned beforehand.
Can be, yeah.
And it was, and all the things were planned in him. And we each have our own inheritance, and he reveals it in his specific time.
Mm-hmm. So inheritance is a planned one, okay? And to receive, any others?
Someone have to die first?
You know, I wonder about that. I thought about that too, and I didn't know. I was trying to find that. Does anybody know about that? I mean, for an I don't think so. Do you? Because you didn't like the prodigal son.
Oh.
He gave him his inheritance in advance.
Right. If you get it in advance, you don't have to pay taxes.
Yeah, we hope there's not a death tax on this one. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, somehow they'll take it. You know, I went to Webster's again. It was like the straight definition out of the dictionary, and the definition for inheritance is to receive, especially from one's ancestors. That was kind of an interesting one. So, whoever said family or somebody has to die or family or so. That one comes up. But in the actual text, the Greek word for it is kleronomia, which is heirship, and that it's a concrete heirship. So you are concretely an heir. And then it also said a possession. And I think that's, do some of the translations say possession instead of inheritance? So I think, yeah, sometimes in King James, although it says the King James is inheritance. Therefore, our inheritance is a concrete heirship or possession that we have received. You know, the funny part is when you take the secular definition of it, to take Webster's definition, it is from one of our ancestors or relative. So think about that one. We're getting an inheritance from a relative or family member. So what does that mean? Where is that inheritance coming from?
Our father.
That's kind of cool. You know, when we talk about an inheritance, this is from our family. It is from our father. And we are related to God through Christ. Remember, we are children of God. We're adopted, all those things. And so when we have this inheritance, when you look at the definition of inheritance, it is to receive from a family member or an ancestor or something like that. When you put it in the Christian perspective, we are inheriting from our Father. That's cool. We get it from God the Father, the God of the universe. We get an inheritance. Think about those big inheritance, you know, Bill Gates or whatever, you know. That's big inheritance. Didn't he have kids? I think he has kids.
I think so.
Two kids. You know, think of the great inheritance they're going to have. Great. Think of our Father. And what he has. pales in comparison, you know. Bill Gates and all he has is pales in comparison to what we have through our inheritance in Christ. And second question is, how do we obtain the inheritance? Yeah, believe we get it as we are in the family, children of God, adopted. It says in the verse there in 1 Peter, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to His great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to obtain an inheritance." So, how is it? It's through Christ, His great mercy, His love, His eternal plan, all the things we've been talking about. You know, it's through the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And that's how we enter in to this family. You know, we've talked a lot about that. How do we, you know, it's back to our class, identification. We're identified. We've come from Adam to Christ. And now it's a completely different family. And that's how we get our inheritance is, you know, just we're saying, in a family. And if you're part of that family, you get an inheritance. Although, I'll point out later a lot of the differences between an earthly inheritance versus a heavenly inheritance. No comparison there. But, again, it's getting into the family. We get into it through Christ. We're identified with Him. We are children, adopted. And, again, remember that adoption. That adoption makes us fully vested in the family. We don't have to grow up to be the eldest child or the one who, you know, I think there was ages of when inheritance were able to be bestowed. As adoption, we move to the front of the line. We're fully vested. We get it all right now. So, what is our inheritance? This one's kind of an interesting one. What do you get in the inheritance? You get a trailer and a bag of cash?
You get to be with Him.
That's true. What is the inheritance? Yeah, we talked about this, and we went through five verses, and we talked about inheritance. What do you get?
First of all, get His love.
Get His love?
His life.
His life?
Which is
others?
Eternally be with Him, that's right. I'll
stick with that. Yep. Other thoughts? Yeah, this is a big deal. You get this inheritance. This is better than Bill Gates' kids. What is it that you get? You
all
get
spiritual blessings.
All spiritual blessings. Everything on here. Basically, I said you get God Himself. You get God Himself. You get to behold Him. You get it. Everything that He bestows, you get Him. You get God Himself. What more do you want? You know, the God who created all this universe. You know, I look in Colossians and, you know, the engineer in me. From the littlest to the biggest, He holds it all together. You know, as a scientist and you look at, you know, you go down to the atom, God is the one who holds the atom together. God is the one who holds all the universe together. From the micro to the macro. He's the guy holding it all together right now. He's the guy who created it all. That's the one we get. That's who our inheritance is. God Himself. That blows my mind. You know, that's who we get. That and it wasn't, you know, it was because of our inclusion into the family through Christ. And the only thing we did was believe. That's all that we did to inherit all that. Not bad. Not bad. You know, and again, the thought that as children of God, we get that right now. That's all positionally what we have right now. As we'll see, whether we have it now or later, that's one of the questions later. The other thing, when you look at the 1 Peter verse, says to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Who or what does that describe when you use those terms? Imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away in heaven. Is that a trailer and a bag of money? Yeah, do you get stock options for Microsoft for the next 20 years? Who is that? What is that?
Eternal
It's God. That's what he said. It's imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, and in heaven. Who does that describe? That is God. That's who our inheritance is. You know, and so when you look at that, I mean, that's who we get as an inheritance.
I think it's Christ, the God-man, the man.
We get, but...
And we're learning to work that out now here.
And oh, we're, yeah.
He's a man.
Yeah, we're working a lot of things out here. And we'll get to whether this
well,
isn't
he's working it out.
The Holy Spirit through in us.
It's knowing him as the man.
Yeah, knowing him, well, it's both. I think it's his deity and his being a man, fully God. That's something I don't think we can fully appreciate. You know, and that's one of those things where I've always kind of held, you know, what is the only man-made thing in heaven? Anybody know that one? Anybody know that? Only man-made thing in heaven. Do 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 do.
A harp.
Wrong. The scars on Christ. Hands, feet, and side. It's the only thing. He still has those scars. It's the only man-made thing in heaven. I don't know if that's true. That's just what I've thought about. That's the only thing that's man-made in heaven is the scars. Because he said, when he was, when they, you know, Thomas, put your finger in here, in my side. And that's in his resurrected body. It's the only thing that I can think of. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I run that by you, but that is the only thing that is man-made that I know of in heaven is the scars. Yeah, they got through, but that's one of those things that I thought, you know, because he was in his resurrected form and Thomas saw him. He was able to go through walls, do everything, but the only thing he has is scars on his hands, feet, and side. Yeah.
I might say that there aren't any scars because he didn't heal.
Well, the holes, the wounds, yeah.
The wounds,
right, the wounds. Whether it's a scar or the actual holes.
I don't think he had blood in the resurrected body.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's the only thing you'll know that we'll notice in heaven that is man-made. What a great tribute to man. And the only thing in heaven is the holes in his side, hands and feet inside. So, little sidetrack there. Okay, where is our inheritance? Where is our inheritance? Huh?
Heaven.
Aha, and where did you get that?
First Peter 3:4.
There you go.
1:4.
To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, where? Reserved in heaven for you. Okay? Our inheritance is in heaven. Where is God? In heaven. Where, you know, we'll get to that. And that's kind of another thing we'll get. Do we have it now or later? And that's kind of one of those ones as I went through my lesson, I was kind of, You know, most of these things we have right now. A lot of them are positional truths, but then conditionally, too, we have them. Number five, what does a pledge mean from the Ephesians passage? What does a pledge mean? We've gone over this term before. Pledge or earnest? I know Mike knows that because he uses it. Think real estate. Think real estate.
Pledge is a commitment.
A commitment. Such as? What is a commitment to what?
In this case, God's commitment to us.
It has to be something material, doesn't it, to stand for it? Obligation. It's verbal. It has to be something material.
Yeah, I think so. I think it can't be verbal. I think it has to be. I think you're right. I hadn't thought about that, but you're right. It has to be a thing, a possession or monetary or something.
It can be a promise.
It can be just a promise? It can be just verbal?
Yeah.
That is.
That's what a promissory note is. It's a promise to pay.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Something of value.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be something of value. I mean, the promissory note, I can promise to pay $1 gazillion for that, but there's no way I can do it. I mean, it has to be something of value, or doesn't something have to be attached to that promissory note? I mean like a car or something
not
that's
necessarily.
Really?
Not necessarily.
No. Huh? Because I was wondering.
A promise in and of itself is something of value.
I was gonna say from I know a bunch of shifty guys who they could promise me the world, and I wouldn't trust them as far as I could throw them.
But this note is legally binding. Right?
What's that?
Is it legally binding?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So watch what you say.
They have two issues there. You have a promise to pay, but most lenders don't like just promises, so they want to attach some sort of physical property to the promise, that if your promise isn't any good, they can take it.
Well, see, that's what I mean. That's what I say. Usually the promissory note has, like, if you can't, you throw a car in that's, or something that's attached to that gives it value. That's what I'm saying. I don't think you can just promise to pay it.
Well, you can. I could borrow $1,000 from you and give you a promissory note without any collateral.
Yeah.
And what you've accepted is my promise
right.
to pay.
Yeah, the value of your promise.
If you didn't trust me, you would want collateral.
Right.
We ran into a situation where, over years, we've had the same, until now he's too old to farm, but he farmed our land, and before that he had farmed the family's land, my wife's family's land. There was never anything in writing, and it had always been on a handshake, and back in Kansas,
yeah,
everything in the farm country, it's done as a promise.
Yeah, handshake.
A handshake.
Handshake is valid.
As good as a signature on a legal document.
Well, what was the back in the late 70s or 80s, the Texaco Pennzoil handshake in the oil patch, that was as good as, you know, the deal, and that cost Texaco or Pennzoil $5 billion or something.
One bad apple.
well, it was. It was a handshake agreement between like Pennzoil and Texaco, and then somebody else did it, and the handshake was valid. And it was a $5 billion deal back in the 70s or late 70s or something. So it's given as a pledge or an earnest, and the word is arabon, and it basically a pledge, part of the purchase money or property given in advance as security for the rest. That's the Greek word. And that, yeah, so part of the purchase money or property given in advance as security for the rest. And then, yeah, the other is earnest. And that, you know, basically it's a real estate term. It's the money, the upfront money or thing of value by a buyer to bind the deal. So, what was given as a pledge or earnest in the deal spoken in the Ephesians passage?
Christ.
What? Holy Spirit. Yeah. It's the Holy Spirit was given as a pledge. So, I went from Matthew Henry's. He, the Holy Spirit, is said to be the earnest until the redemption of the purchased possession. It may be called here the possession because this earnest makes it as sure to the heirs as though they were already possessed of it. And it is purchased for them by the blood of Christ. The redemption of it is mentioned because it was mortgaged and forfeited by sin. And Christ restores it to us. And so it is said to redeem it, an allusion to the law of redemption. Well, that was kind of an interesting way. Kind of forfeited and mortgaged by sin. And in order to buy us back or to that purchase was through Christ's blood. And then the Holy Spirit is the one who is the pledge or the earnest for our inheritance, for everything that we get.
So our inheritance is a where our condition becomes our position? Or
yeah, we'll get to that. Actually I'll get to it as far as the inheritance and where, when and how kind of. Because I was thinking about that. I thought, you know, a lot of these ones are, we have it right now. I mean, they're today we claim it. We just recognize it. The other question is, whose possession is being secured by the earnest or pledge of the Holy Spirit? Whose possession? Whose possession is being secured?
Ours.
Not ours. Whose possession? It's God's possession. You know, he's putting the money down for his possession. And in Ephesians 1:14, who has given us a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. So the possession is God's possession and the pledge is the Holy Spirit. So interesting in that one.
That's, you know, possession of us.
Yeah. Yeah, his possessions or his possessions that is secured for us. So it's all of his promise to us and pledge through the Holy Spirit. So is, you know, when I get down to it, we'll see how secure that inheritance is. From Colossians 3:24, when it says we receive the reward of inheritance, what is that based on? And is it from our? I love this. I always, you guys got to get this one by now. Is it from our efforts and works? Okay, I always put that in just for grins and chuckles. So, we say we receive the reward of inheritance. What is it based on? Look at the Colossians 1. Colossians 3:23-24. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. So what is it based on? It's based on everything Christ has done. Knowing the Lord, knowing everything that we have in Christ, knowing the Lord. That's what it's based on. Is it anything we did?
No.
It's everything of Him. And again, that's like everything else we've done. Yeah.
I might point out that inheritance has a definite article in front of it. Mm-hmm. Inheritance, so it's a specific inheritance.
Yes.
It's not just inheritance in general. It's the specific inheritance.
Yes.
That we've been talking about.
Right, the inheritance, yes, which is God Himself. Right. So, now getting down to the fun questions, I think. In verse 7, is our inheritance for now? And is it like our inheritance from our parents?
No.
Yeah, because we try and equate everything to what we know. And I tried to, you know, what does inheritance mean? You know, the first thing you think of is, well, what did I get from dad? What did I get from, you know, or grandpa or whatever, you know, and we think of it in that terms. But is our inheritance for now?
I've always thought.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll be curious to see what your answers are.
I've always thought that, okay, we have to die or Christ has to return, and then everything's, you know, good.
Okay.
But it's hard to understand. We have all these possessions now, but like I said before, our condition becomes our position. That's probably the final thing, right?
We
already have everything.
Once we shirk these shells, it's all 100%. But I think there's position and conditioning. What was your? I'm curious. I didn't run this by you, but I was curious.
I said the answer is yes, and here's the reason. The inheritance is not based on my death; it's based on Christ's death,
mm-hmm.
and so that has already taken place. And if the inheritance is God Himself,
mm-hmm.
then if I'm in Christ, then I am in Him, and I also, at this point, have the privilege of beholding Him and knowing Him and receiving Him Himself. The issue with the inheritance, I think, the overriding issue is Christ Himself.
Okay. I got it.
Well, I think that by virtue of the fact that the Lord gave us His Word,
mm-hmm.
so that we could know what our inheritance is. If it was for later, why share now?
Okay. Now I'll give you mine. Positionally, I say we have it all right now. Conditionally, I don't know. What does 1 Peter say? To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, what does it say? Reserved in heaven for you.
Yeah. But I think we got it conditionally, too, because the God-man.
I would say this, that from a conditional standpoint, maybe what spiritual growth is entering more fully into what is already knowledge.
See, that's where I'm at. So I said, positionally, we have the inheritance there. It's secured. It's undefiled. It's, you know, will not fade away. Can't be disturbed. Can't go away. You know, as I put, this is different from the inheritance from our parents, in that our parents can squander our inheritance, change it day by day, be subject to federal and state and local taxes, rules, etc. Blah 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 blah. But our inheritance is positionally, it's guaranteed. It's there. It's now. We have that. But from a conditional standpoint, that's where I say it's reserved in heaven for you. I think we get part of that inheritance now. We get all these things that we know, and we, as we grow, we spiritually mature, and we come to know Him more. That's, as we know more, that's more of our inheritance that we know. But we won't fully know that until we're in heaven, and that's why I say I think the reserved in heaven is that, the last part.
I would say, too, that we view inheritance as things.
Mm-hmm.
I think, biblically, inheritance is a person, not a thing.
And that's, as we said, the inheritance is God Himself. And I don't think we get all of that until we get to heaven.
Yeah,
so I think we get part of that now conditionally. And we, as we know more and more, we know more of our inheritance of Him. We know more of Him.
I disagree because Paul...
I thought this might be a trouble.
Paul knew a man named Christ,
which was
whether
him.
In the body or out of the body.
Which was him.
Right. So I don't think... The only thing stopping us is our unbelief.
Right. And that's why I think the growth is, as we grow,
but
we know that the inheritance is there. Like right. I said, we have it. Yeah. It's just our knowing of that inheritance. You know, it's kind of like, you know, if it was the Bill Gates, oh, I have the boat in here and I have the plane over here and the helicopter. We don't know. I mean, that's kind of a bad analogy, but it... What?
But I don't get to know Bill.
Well, right, right. But I mean, that's what we... I mean, I'm equating things, but it's a person. Or maybe you know... somebody, and you know him more and more and more, and that's what we get as our inheritance. We know him more and more, because our inheritance is him himself. And so, we don't have all, I mean, I don't have him face to face right now. I don't have that full inheritance.
Yeah, it's reflective.
It's reflective now. Exactly. In fact, I went to that one. So, I mean, it was kind of, and when it says reserved in heaven for you, I mean, I'm seated positionally in the heavenlies right now, but I'm not conditionally there. So our inheritance is there. So positionally, I said we have it all right now, and that's never going to change. And as we get, you know, in question 8, from the Hebrews passage, it says that we may receive the promise of our internal inheritance. Is there any doubt in our receiving the inheritance? Is it conditional? From 1 Peter, can our inheritance reservation in heaven be canceled? No. Remember, you know, in 1 Peter, it's imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away. And it's God. It's God Himself. Will He ever fade away? Will He ever change? Will He ever go away? No. That's our inheritance. So it can't be. Then we'll get to 9 real quick. Oh, except are we done? I hear bodies. Okay. All right. We'll get to fun questions. Okay. We will close. Let's close. Heavenly Father, we thank You for today. Thanks for this day and every day again, Father. We just give You thanks for all that we have in Christ. Father, I just look so through the Scriptures, I'm more amazed each and every time how much we have in Christ. And we just thank You that You love us so much, that You've given us Your Word, and we get to know Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, more and more as we look into Your Word. And we just thank You again just for all the blessings You bestow upon us, all these things You have bestowed upon us the very moment we received Your Son. We thank You, and it's in His name we pray. Amen.